Here's a joy to be with you, and this seems especially hot right here. Okay. It's a joy to be with you. Yeah, these kinds of things happen. He said, what would it take to get you to come to my local church? And I said, just an agreeable date. And here I am. I met with the conference board of directors yesterday at the camp, and then spent the night in Ottawa last night, and drove up here this morning, and it was an easy drive. Okay, so that works better. All right. And so it's a joy to visit in this congregation this Sunday. One of the pleasures that I have in this job is to be in different congregations every Sunday and to learn about the life and breadth and depth of our United Church of Christ across the country. And let me begin by expressing gratitude and thanks and greetings to you from the Collegium of Officers of the United Church of Christ. As the Minister for Conference Relations, I serve as the assistant to the President of the Church, John Thomas, and the other officers of the church, Edith Guffey, the Associate General Minister, and the Executive Ministers of Local Church Ministries, Joe Malayan, of Wider Church Ministries, Callie Rogers Whitty, and of Justice and Witness Ministries, Linda Jaramillo, and my 180-some colleagues who work with me at the Church House at 700 Prospect in Cleveland. Let me bring greetings to you on their behalf. Let me also express thanks from them to you for your gifts to our church's wider mission. That's the OCWM initials you sometimes see, and that doesn't mean old cows won't milk or O come with money, but it stands for our church's wider mission, and we are grateful for your personal generosity as well as your church's collective generosity to that, and the other four special mission offerings of the United Church of Christ: Neighbors in Need, One Great Hour of Sharing, the Christmas Fund, and Strengthen the Church. Those are the four special mission offerings of the United Church of Christ. And you list those on your website as supporting those, and I want to express on behalf of those persons who receive the gifts of your generosity their appreciation to you for your generosity. I also noted on your website that you're engaged in a whole list of wonderful mission opportunities: Safe Passages, Good Samaritan Fund, the Crop Project, Food Bank, Habitat for Humanity, and Pathway to Promise. And I was especially appreciative to read all of the things that you do that are listed on your website. A very helpful website, I might add. I don't know who's responsible for keeping it up and keeping it current, but it was especially helpful to acquaint me a little bit with you and to know, oh, he does that. Oh, okay. A little side benefit of calling him as your pastor. Well, it's a wonderful and helpful resource to learn about this marvelous church and all that you are engaged in. In these ways and in your very lives, you bring life to the message of an extravagant welcome. Because you engage in mission work through this church and in God's name, you demonstrate what we claim as evangelical courage in our engagement in mission and ministry in our communities and around the world. And through your commitments and message of hope, you let it be known that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Some hallmark phrases of our United Church of Christ. So it's good to be with you this morning and share in this moment of worship. I invite you to join me in prayer. Gracious God, gentle in your power and strong in your tenderness, you have brought us forth from the womb of your being and breathed into us the breath of life. We know that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from you. Feed our deep hungers with the living bread you give us in Jesus Christ. And make us a joyful company of your people, that with the faithful in every place and time we may praise and honor you, God Most High. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, have you ever misplaced anything or thought it was lost? Happens to me all the time. In fact, I used to keep a list of things I couldn't find, because I lost so many things, I wanted to keep track of the things I couldn't find. I had to keep things simple, and I lost very simple things, too. I was in Florida one time and got back from the beach and was taking things out of the car and locked the car up and walked around for an hour or so trying to find the keys, because I couldn't get back in the car to go anywhere. discovered I slipped them into my shoes and that they were there, much to my family's humor later, who always said when I couldn't find the keys, check his shoes, see if they're there. Glasses, I'm always putting my glasses down someplace and leaving them. Does anybody else do that? You leave your glasses off someplace. And now my problem is that I can read without my glasses, but the minute I take them off, like this, all of you are just fuzzy blobs to me. Now that works because when I get up to walk someplace and bump into something, I think, okay, I don't have my glasses. The calendar, if you've ever lost your calendar, if you're as dependent on your calendar as I am, that's a moment of panic. The other day in Atlanta, I lost my wallet. I wasn't quite sure where it was. It turned out to be under a notebook right on my desk where I was working in a meeting in Atlanta. And that was embarrassing because everybody else was out in the hall waiting to go to lunch. Well, how great it is when you find it. And you want to shout, I found it. Sometimes you shout it to those in the house. Sometimes I shout that to my secretary, who rolls her eyes back and goes, oh yeah, one more time. Sometimes to anyone who will listen, and once in a while I'll shout it, I found it, when no one at all is around to hear me say that but God. I found it. There's a story about a community in Eastern Europe that at the time of the ending of communism had an unfortunate and violent incident happen in the center of their town. There was an incident between the police and the military, and shots were fired and people were killed. And the next day, the town assembled in the square and decided to talk about the incidents of the day before. And the only person apparently brave enough or lucky enough, depending on how you look at it, to moderate this incredible town meeting was the priest of that town. And there was a microphone set up in the middle of the town square, and the priest was up on the platform, and one by one people came and shared both their anger at what happened, their sadness about their loss, their frustration about the past, or their hope about the future. And at one point, the priest could see one of the soldiers coming towards the microphone and was frightened about what might happen. Would his very presence erupt into a riot in the midst of that community? What would happen with this soldier coming up to the microphone? Finally, he reached the microphone and he took it. It was his turn to speak, and he began to confess what had happened the day before, his role in what had happened, his firing on his countrymen, on brothers and sisters in his town, and he asked for forgiveness and understanding and peace. Well, it was a moment when the priest still wasn't certain that peace would prevail in that setting. And in a moment was trying to figure out what was the one thing he could do to make sure that there wasn't some kind of a riot happen in this town. And so he did the only thing he could think of in that moment was he invited the whole town to pray the Lord's Prayer. And it was in that moment that they realized that only half the people in the town knew the Lord's Prayer. For after 70 years of communism, a lot of people had never been introduced to the Lord's Prayer. So the people who did not know how to pray looked to the lips of those who did to find out what the words were and how to pray the Lord's Prayer. They looked to the lips of those who knew how to pray to learn how they should pray. How have you learned about the faith that we claim and hold dear? Who have been the persons who have taught you lessons of faith on this Rally Day Sunday, when Sunday school kicks up again and the excitement of a new year of learning comes? Perhaps it was a Sunday school teacher who taught you the essential lessons of the faith. Perhaps it was pastors in your past, in this church and in others, who did that for you, or family members who taught you the essence of the Christian faith. Or maybe it was other members of this congregation. And there's a whole group of dedicated and faithful teachers
including your pastor, who are about to begin an educational journey to continue to answer faith questions and to shore up your faith. And then as you think about who you have learned from, you might also consider who may be looking at you to learn about the faith. Looking at your lips, noticing your actions, observing how you live your life as a witness to the faith of this Christian church. The people in that town square could say they found it in that moment as they learned how to pray. They found it in the power of prayer, the presence of God, the gift of grace to bring healing and wholeness, forgiveness and hope back to people who had long been separated from the love of God. And you bring that possibility to people here in this community and in your circle of friends as you live your life. Now, the scripture this morning talks about Jesus ate with sinners and welcomed them into his company. And then it talks about that they grumbled about that. I love these kind of murmuring pieces in the Bible where people are grumbling. And so Jesus begins to tell them that parable about the sheep and the shepherd who finds sheep. And he gathers his friends and neighbors together and they have a party to celebrate the shepherd's shout of joy that the shepherd had found it. And then Jesus talks about the woman who found a coin and gathers her friends and neighbors together. And they too have a celebration to affirm the woman's announcement that she found it, this coin of great value. Once the lost was found, and they called together the community, friends and neighbors, family and guests, and they had a party. And why not have a party? You're going to have a party this afternoon. You have a party after worship and coffee hours, I think, every Sunday. One of the things I've observed about our churches as I travel across the country is that we tend to love to have food at almost every gathering, and we'll find ways to have food. Some churches have whole committees that do nothing but plan food. Some churches have fellowship and food, and then some churches have food and fellowship. But food is always there for us. Another thing that I've noticed about us across the country is music. We love great music. We have wonderful organists and pianists and choirs that enrich our life in terms of music. And that's another great hallmark across our church. And the third part is the richness of our fellowship. Often, I get to come to churches when it's probably just me and the janitor, as I worry that I'll be late, so I get there so early that sometimes the doors aren't even open yet. And you come into an empty sanctuary, and maybe a cool or cold sanctuary. And you get to watch it fill up. And you bring warmth into this place. Not just physical warmth, but emotional warmth. And you bring the love and caring for each other that shares joys and sorrows. And that's the beauty of the congregation that you are. You welcomed two new members into that fellowship to share this journey, to be a part of sharing the cost and joy of discipleship, to share their joys and sorrows as they have promised to share your joys and sorrows today. You're in this together. There's a wonderful passage in the Constitution of the United Church of Christ that says all of us share in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Not just those who are authorized for ministry, but every single one of us here is called to be about ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. And what we attempt to do in Sunday school and in worship and in fellowship time is to equip all of you to be ministers on behalf of Jesus Christ. So you're not here just to sit in the pew and keep this seat warm, you know. Sorry if that's what you thought you were joining. Because we expect that when you go outside those doors into that world, you will make this faith alive. And you will celebrate Jesus' love for you in that simple statement of faith hymn that we sang this morning, Jesus loves me. And because Jesus does love you, Jesus calls you to be celebrating that love out in the community. And in your witness, people will see you and learn the faith And we hope you invite people to church. There was something on the website about your role in inviting people to come to church. Didn't you say that somewhere?
Yeah, it was on the faith page. That changes several times.
Right now it says invite people to come to church. And as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, called by Jesus, empowered by Jesus' love, and supported by the Holy Spirit, filled, as the hymn said this morning, you go out into that world to make that faith alive in people's lives. And just like that community in that town square, you have the opportunity in prayer and in witness and in service and in sharing to share what you have found with others and invite them into this life in this community. So we are invited to celebrate each person who felt lost at some time in their lives and invite them into this community so that they feel welcomed and loved, so that they can shout, I have found it, and that they are home in the loving covenant of the church that we celebrate. Even when we think that we have lost our way, we know that we can come to this place and be anchored again in the affirmation of our faith and our love from Jesus. I hope this church is a place for you that is a safe place. And I hope that all of our congregations across the United Church of Christ are safe places for you to come with questions and doubts and sometimes fears and maybe sometimes your own feelings of being lost, and find in this place, in the love of other people in this community, the chance to seek answers to life's challenging questions. A safe place to let God touch you and bring answers that will help you not have that lost and alone feeling. A place where God's love and God's touch and God's presence surrounds you and lets you know that you have been found and welcomed to the party, to God's party. This last week, as I began to think about the scripture for this Sunday, I found myself in a number of different settings that I was grateful to be struggling with this scripture a little bit, because people turned to me at the last minute and said, would you speak or would you pray? And normally I would just, but I had thought about the scripture a little bit. And let me just tell you a couple of places where that happened, just to share with you some of the breadth of the ministry of the church right now. Earlier this week, I met with 70 pastors and church leaders of new church starts, of church renewals, and of existing congregations coming into the United Church of Christ. And they are coming into the United Church of Christ, or they are gathering congregations in the name of the United Church of Christ, or they're finding new mission in the United Church of Christ in a I have found it kind of excitement. And that was neat to see those 70 pastors sitting in the meeting room of the United Church of Christ offices in Cleveland, excited about being out there forming new churches. Now you think back to when people gathered this congregation and the challenges they faced, the challenges of gathering a congregation today are even greater. And Friday, I forgot to ask somebody to do devotions at the Fort Wayne Children's Home Board of Directors meeting, and because I chair that board, I felt it was my responsibility to do devotion. So I went back to this passage, and I thought about all of the kids that come to Fort Wayne Children's Home who are lost, who are feeling unwanted, who are neglected and abused and put there by the court system. And grateful that I'm part of a church that reaches out to children in that place and in other places to say, you've found it here, you've found love and excitement and support, and that you have found people who love you and care for you and care about you. And then I met with the chaplains. We had about 100 chaplains come for a meeting in Cleveland Hospital and military and prison and nursing home chaplains. And I thought, they're part of telling people the same message of peace, of comforting assurance, of knowing of the presence of God in their lives in very trying and scary times. You know what that's like, because you're a chaplain yourself. And he has the opportunity to bring the love of God alive in people's lives in challenging moments. And you do too. So be about this ministry of service. Take your call of being in this community, this loving community. Carry that message outside those doors and make it come alive, where people can look at you and say, I don't know what you found, but I want it too.